I mean, I'm just looking forward, like, at my own life, my own calendar. It's like, the kids' spring break is in a few weeks. We had had an Airbnb booked for down in Santa Cruz. I think we're going to have to pull the plug on that because it just seems like, even if this is lifted before then, which is unlikely, what other restrictions will be in place? I mean, it really does feel like a strange new normal that we all are going to have to just, like, go with the flow with.
A strange new normal, first hitting the San Francisco Bay Area. Officials there are ordering residents to shelter in place, to stay inside for weeks amid the coronavirus pandemic.
They're essentially asking people to stick to their own household, to only leave the house for things like runs to the grocery store. They're essentially mandating that all, quote unquote, non-essential businesses close.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch, and today, what it's like in the first U.S. city to shut down.
The new public health order that we're announcing will require San Franciscans to remain at home, with exceptions only for essential outings. These measures will be disruptive to day-to-day life, but there is no need to panic.
It's as far as I think we can go in our society without essentially telling people just to, like, not leave the house at all.
Marisa Lagos is a correspondent for KQED, the public radio station in San Francisco, where a shelter-in-place order went into effect last night.
They said we're still allowed to go outside for walks and to exercise. So personally, I plan on taking a lot of long runs in the coming days, if that's still an option. It's the everyday stuff that you really do take for granted. You know, like, I decided that this weekend I would not continue going to my yoga studio, and they've actually shut down by now anyway. But even before that, I was doing, like, YouTube yoga videos and really just thinking hard. I think we're just in a society where we often don't plan ahead and, you know, order last-minute groceries or delivery or run to the store for just one item. And we're really trying to have to rethink sort of how much we connect and when we connect and whether it's worthwhile given how serious this virus is.
Well, I'm wondering, in California, you already had the governor closing bars and wineries because of this. And now where you are, basically everything that isn't essential being forced to close. Are people worried about what this means for businesses?
I mean, I think everybody is very concerned about the potential economic ramifications. But I would say, by and large, I've been really impressed by the community's sort of willingness to wrap their heads around this. I think in some ways, too, this clarity is helpful. You know, I think some of what's been hard is that there's such sort of varying advice from, depending on which county you're in, from, you know, which sort of health expert you hear from. And I think these clear parameters, you know, shutting down the schools, telling people to really stay at home unless they absolutely need something, in a way are coming as a relief to some people, because there's been a lot of confusion as to how seriously we should be taking some of these things. Like, when we say self-isolation, you know, I think before this directive, there was this question of, well, can I still see that one family that I've been hanging out with, or can we still meet for play dates at the park? And really what the mayor is saying is, you can't. And if you do go outside and do anything, you need to stay 6 feet away from other people, which I'm sure my children will totally listen to if we try. You know, like, it's just like, how do you tell a 4 and 7 year old to stay 6 feet away from their friends? It's hard.
With these things, we often tend to focus on the worst things, which are very real. People losing jobs, potentially, kids not being able to be in the classroom. But we've seen, you know, people donating to food banks, picking up groceries for their neighbors. Is there anything positive you're noticing with all that's going on there?
Just from, like, a parent perspective, I mean, like, all these schools are shut down. We're all at home with these kids. We're trying to juggle everything. I have seen amazing sort of online and social networking happening. I mean, I think we talk so much about the downsides of Facebooks and Twitters. And this is a moment where we're really seeing the huge opportunity that exists within that those things. And, I mean, I've been added to WhatsApp groups and to Facebook groups where people are sharing lesson plans and sort of aspirational ways to have their kids still on a schedule. But I think, you know, people are, if not in person, at least sort of virtually, really trying to come together on this. And to me, that's really heartening. And it speaks to one of the reasons that for all of our challenges, I really love San Francisco and this region, is that I think that people tend to do that in times like these. And everyone's booking Zoom happy hours and you know, like just trying to find the way to make a best of all of this. I've rediscovered my liquor cabinet. I never make cocktails at home, but I'm beginning to understand why the 5 o'clock happy hour was like a thing on farms back in the day.
Marisa Lagos, KQED correspondent and co-host of the podcast Political Breakdown. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Always a pleasure. Let's check back in. Hopefully you guys can continue your free movement for a while.
And that's actually a big question right now across the nation, whether other places will continue having free movement, whether there could be a shutdown nationwide.
A total shutdown, we're actually a ways away from that. It feels like there's been a cascade of shutdowns, and there have, in some very big places. But across the country, much of things are really open for business.
Angela Greiling-Keen oversees regional reporting from Politico's States team.
We're certainly seeing the major cities close things down, but there's a lot of the rest of the United States. And even in Seattle, in King County, where a lot of the U.S. outbreak has begun, there's still things that are open. So a total shutdown really is several steps away, and it's almost unfathomable what that would look like in the country like the United States.
Well, why is that? Italy's done basically a total lockdown. We saw China take some extreme shutdown measures. San Francisco's essentially now doing it. Why is it unfathomable to imagine something like that across the U.S.?
A couple of things for the U.S. One is sheer size. Obviously, China's a huge nation also, but China has an authoritarian government. It's much easier for an authoritarian government to shut things down than it is for a country like the United States. Italy, of course, is a democracy, and they have shut things down. They're a smaller country than the U.S. But one of the other challenges, in addition to just numbers and geography in the U.S., is how we are structured based on states' rights. We honestly have a weak federal government, and state governments have a lot of rights. And that's by design. Governors have a lot of power, and it's hard for the federal government to issue mandates. What we saw out of the CDC was guidelines on gatherings, not mandates. So for even the White House to order something, it's very, very difficult. It usually has to be coordinated among all 50 state governors, and actually more when you count places like Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico.
So if you have these states in charge of when things shut down, is there any worry that you can end up with, you know, a bunch of different responses that are potentially at odds with each other?
Absolutely. One element of this is that there's a bit of a political divide, like there is in many things in this country in 2020. We saw Representative Devin Nunes, a Republican from California, over the weekend tweet encouraging people to go out to eat. And that was as local and state officials in California were going the exact opposite direction, imposing restrictions and encouraging people to implement voluntary social distancing. So we definitely could see different places in the country reacting in different ways.
Angela, when and if there is a shutdown, either in a city, a state, or even nationally, what effect does that have in the long term when we come out of the crisis? I mean, some economists are already saying this is a recession.
Budgets are one thing. Obviously, this is a devastating move to the economy. Even if it proves to be the right thing to do from a public health perspective, it's terrible for business owners of any size, but certainly for small business owners. So we've already seen Congress working on a stimulus package. We may see similar requests of state governments, although state governments, unlike the federal government, are obligated to balance their budget. So they can't just keep dipping into deficit spending to approve stimulus packages. But there's going to be a lot of requests for help from a lot of corners, individuals and business owners. The economic effect is going to last for a long time.
Angela, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you.
Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure to rate and review us. You can also send us your feedback and what you'd like to hear more of by emailing us at audio@politico.com. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.